Hey, everybody, welcome in as we continue through candidate country with you. And I encourage you to listen to the candidates before you vote. You know, please don't rely on somebody's yard sign to actually make up your mind. Get informed and then vote. And so to help you do just that, we have two of the six candidates for Sandpoint City Council with us today. The remaining three will be on next week. Today we're talking with Amelia Boyd and Deb Rule. The other candidate for today I was unable to connect with. I called her phone number over and over. There was no mailbox. There was no way to leave a message, and she never picked up. Honestly, I called her a lot. She probably thought I was stalking her or something. But anyway, right now we're going to take that first break, do a little business, and we'll be right back.
You're definitely going to need a bigger wallet, because this fall you can win big at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Qualify to win with weekly hot spins, or join us every Friday or Saturday for our weekend super spins. You could walk away with a ton of cash. Room rates are just $99 a night midweek for the Kootenai Falls Lodge, or just $119 for a Riverview room. The Springs is featuring four throwback dinner specials, each priced $13. Spaghetti and meatballs, Idaho trout, meatloaf, and stir fry, all backed by popular demand for a limited time. And this October in the Kootenai Spa, you'll find a relaxing anti-stress facial and 30-minute stone massage for just $115. Or how about a 50-minute warm stone massage and chocolate facial for just $169? So buy yourself a bigger wallet, a bigger purse, or heck, just bring a suitcase for the cash, because you're going to need it at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Book your winning fall getaway by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenairiverInn.com. Room specials based on availability.
It's time to see what's new at Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Do you know how much you're really paying for life insurance through work? I can almost guarantee you're overpaying for limited coverage. I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent for over 20 years. My clients are shocked to learn how expensive life insurance at work really is because of a rate that's driven up by unhealthy people. Why pay more when you don't have to? For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. I found a 40-year-old man with high blood pressure, a $500,000 policy, for only $19 a month. Don't procrastinate. Workplace open enrollment will be here soon. Let SelectQuote save you money and get you the coverage you need to protect your family.
For your free quote in just minutes, call 1-800-242-3311. That's 1-800-242-3311. 1-800-242-3311. Or go to SelectQuote.com.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Imagine having all the money you need for retirement, all the income, every month, guaranteed. That's Secure Future Investor, an indexed annuity tied to growth in the stock market, but without any risk of loss, ever. It's guaranteed money for life income, no matter how long you live. Call 888-509-2228. 888-509-2228. Sponsored by GP Agency, Inc., Raleigh, North Carolina. Licensed in all states. Performance may vary. Consult with your financial professional before making an investment decision.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Again, thanks for being with us. Join me as I say hello and welcome to Amelia Boyd and Deb Rule. Thank you for being here with us today.
You're welcome.
All right.
Having us.
Thank you. And Deb, we're going to start with you. I'm going to ask both of you to introduce yourselves to our audience. Deb Rule.
Well, my name is Deb Rule, as you already know. I am the only incumbent running for re-election. I've lived in Sandpoint for 19 and a half years now. I had both my children in Bonner General Hospital, and they have so far been successful, launched one into college this fall at BSU, and the other one is a senior at the high school. I started my political career on Planning Commission. I was on Planning Commission for 2 years plus, and then I was appointed to City Council to finish out Mayor Carrie Logan's term when Mayor Marshall Ogilvy unfortunately passed. And then I ran for re-election unopposed. And then another term when I got heavily involved in the watershed and creating a master plan and making sure our recreation was gentle with our watershed and protected our water. And then I am now running for a third term on City Council.
All right, Deb Rule, thank you very much for that. Same question to Amelia Boyd.
Thank you. I moved here in 2016 with my husband of almost, we've been together since I was 17, so we're working on our 37th year together. We have two boys. One lives in New York City and the other one in Southern California. They too are quite successful, thank goodness, and contributing citizens. I'm also currently on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I am finishing up my second year with them. Have enjoyed that a lot, have learned a lot, and feel, you know, getting in the guts of city workings. I feel that I'm prepared to go the next step of City Council. I'm also a very active community member. I volunteer extensively. I'm completing my first year on the Bonner General Health Foundation. I'm a trustee there. I was also the race director for the Find Your Strength 5K, 1K Family Fun Run. I've done that for 2 years since its inception. I volunteer at the Cancer Center every week, but mostly I'm civically engaged. I attend City Council meetings. I have since we've moved here and participated in just about every forum or town hall that they've had to offer. So I'm vested in this community, and I love where I live, and I love my neighbors.
All right, Amelia Boyd, thank you very much. I'm going to keep it with you, Amelia. The next question is going to, in a way, get at why you're running. I'm interested if you would start with one top problem, in your opinion, that the city is facing, and what's your solution?
So because of my experience with planning and zoning, I've seen and heard the concerns that people have with the incoming downtown development. And knowing the process of that, it has, you know, zone change is one of my priorities, because as of now, we could have up to 5 stories in the downtown corridor. And I just know that a lot of people are against that, especially with the conceptual plans that have been posted with the First and Bridge Street. So that's a concern. I would like to keep the downtown corridor charming and historical, and not have these, you know, gaudy big buildings that aren't Sandpoint. So I would, that's a priority for me, because that's what the community doesn't want.
And your solution to that, if you want to keep it not the allowed 5, maybe keep it at 3.
Prioritize.
How are you going to accomplish that?
Prioritize with Amy Tweeden, our city planner, to put forth those changes to the Planning and Zoning Commission. She, fortunately, is very knowledgeable, knows her job, knows the framework, and has started with planning and zoning, bringing code change, but nothing yet of the downtown. So I would like to see that pushed to the forefront.
All right. The same question to Deb Rule. A problem as a sitting city council person that you have, that you see, and what's your solution, assuming if it was before the council you voted against whatever they did?
Well, that's kind of a tough question when you sit there, and I have so much knowledge of so many different issues, and I don't necessarily like to call them problems as much as challenges. And I would say there's not a single one I can center on. I share a lot of the same thoughts that Ms. Boyd just explained about planning and zoning. We need to change those downtown codes. I know that that's important and having that experience on the Planning Commission. So the downtown waterfront competition, the reason I voted for that is that my main goal was to look at the code, look at the details of that. I'm not so much about the flamboyant, what we could look like or what we could build, as much as I am about, there's one section I was reviewing last evening about the mass of buildings and how they fit in structurally and how they will accommodate the historical nature and fit in as, you know, there's all kinds of different wording as contemporary buildings. But we heard from many individuals, and that's why we as a council kind of wanted to start on that. But my main goal, again, was to keep Sandpoint looking like Sandpoint. And then I could expand on more issues.
No, we want to keep, I want that. So I'm hearing you both agree that the downtown building codes, the planning and zoning codes, and what they're going to allow, you have concerns about.
Yes.
All right. So this is going to be even a more difficult question then, but though you might be ready to segue mm-hmm. into it. I want your next challenge that concerns you, and what is your solution? What will you champion as a city council member to solve this challenge or take care of the challenge?
Well, I think that we need to re-energize some of our public committees, but we need to do that in a very goal-oriented way where and change the nature of how those committees functioned. I sat on council when we had some of these committees, but over time they had strengths and weaknesses, and quite often what they were working on fell through the cracks as far as presenting at council. Minutes were behind by 3 months, and you know, issues we needed to manage didn't come to us rapidly enough. So I think we really need to re-energize those committees, and my thought process sits with putting a planning commission member on those committees, putting a council member on those committees, and making those committees work in the sense of outreach. That's many more voices that can get out to the public and pull in more people to get involved, so that we can hear on the front end of projects what the needs are instead of on the back end of projects, where then there becomes a lot of unrest and discontent. So that is one of my primary goals, to work on that.
All right. Same question to you, Amelia Boyd. Your next concern, challenge, problem, what's your solution?
It's pretty much on in line with Deb. The communication piece is the biggest part, especially in the climate currently that the city is facing. That's a huge concern for me. I think that disconnect is a shame, and the value of citizen input is something that we need to embrace, so we don't have instances like what's going on at Traverse Park. So I tend to agree. I would like to see those committees back, but I also have to put the onus on elected officials. I myself personally will make a point and make an effort. I don't work outside of the home, so I'm available pretty much all the time. And I prefer face-to-face conversations with people. That's how I think I'm more effective. And listening to those voices, listening to those concerns, I will just be more out there, I guess, is my goal. But bringing back those citizen-led committees is vital, I think, to move forward for Sandpoint.
All right. Thank you. Well, I'm going to keep it with you, Amelia. And my next question is Traverse Park. Almost to a person, when I said, do you have a certain question you want me to ask? You know, people had different things. Everyone is concerned about Travers, and the big thing is exactly what you're talking about. People feel that the city council at no point in this process listened to them, nor are they listening now, as I understand it, it's well over 1,000 people have signed the petition that says, we want the building, we want pickleball and tennis, but we don't want the trees to be cut down. So where are you on the Traverse Park decision? Would you, as a city council member, have voted to approve the plan that is now apparently in place?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think it's hard to answer whether or not I would or would not have supported this, because there's so much information that is given to city council, and I haven't had the opportunity to read everything. I know with my experience in planning and zoning, we're given a packet. I know city council has given packets. They have meetings. They have more information available to them than, say, I would. So for me to say that, oh, this is how I would vote, I don't have all of that information. I just have what I have observed. I regularly attend city council meetings. So I'm not surprised by what's happening at Traverse Park because I've been informed. And I understand that not everybody has that opportunity. So it's kind of unfair to answer yes or no, because I don't have all that information.
Same question to you, Deb Rule, about the Traverse Park situation.
The Traverse Park situation is complicated. Could the city have done better with the outreach? Absolutely. I'd have to disagree with Amelia that all that information that I get as a city council person is out there to be read online. If you take the time to go through every single detail of it, it's been out there. It's been out there for a long time. Although a lot of people feel like there wasn't the outreach, maybe we should have had a big giant poster board that went up in the park that people could see when they entered the park. There's probably 1,000 pages of documentation that I've read through, and there's never a super easy choice. I'm sad about the trees. I'm going to miss those trees. But when I weighed all the options about where we could do things or not do things, we're going to replace the 20 trees we had with 60 mature trees. And hopefully in 5 years, that's going to create a small urban forest that we didn't have. There's never a perfect choice to make, but I do think that having an indoor facility when I was raising my children wouldn't have been an asset. And I'd like to say it's a sports complex. It's just not for a few people. It's for our children, and it's always been for our children.
All right. Following up on this, you mentioned, Amelia, about communication and outreach and just putting your opinion as a council or as a city administrator out there is not really listening to the people. People have told me they do not go to council meetings or commissioner or, school board because the time is limited. We understand that. But it never changes anything. The decisions are already made. The momentum is moving forward. It's going to be what it's going to be. And even though people petition and they demonstrate and they are concerned, it makes no difference. So a lot of them say, why go to a meeting? Why even read what's online? Because this isn't going to make any difference because y'all have made up your mind already. How do you respond to that kind of, I don't want to use a too strong of a word, but kind of hopeless or disengaged or feeling really seriously not listened to the point that it changes anything?
Well, I would say that's not accurate at all. Decisions are not made before we get there. That would absolutely be against open law meeting rules. I don't talk to the other council members or get their opinions about all those issues that come in front of us. The decisions are made at the council, and we do listen to the public. There was a lot of concern about the playground elements of the Traverse Park thing, and we went back and looked at all that, and we recovered and tried to save certain pieces. We are spending $20,000 to save the one tree that's not in the footprint of the building because the public wanted us to look at the trees again. As far as the comp plan, there's a whole urban forestry section that's one of the reasons we tabled the comp plan was to go back and look at those things. And I know that our city planner, Amy Tweeten, every comment was made. She came back in front of council and say, okay, this was what was given to me. And these are the changes. And these were, we went back and did that. We want to do that. We don't sit up there as some untouchable individuals. I'm always available. I have a city email address. I have a Facebook page. You can contact me through Messenger. You can talk to me in the grocery store. You can pull me over in the park. You can wave me down when I'm riding my bike through town. So I'm going to listen and do the best I can, but I'm only one person, so I can't change everything as an individual. And I would like to see a strong mayor who is the voice of our town instead of council feeling absolutely responsible for everything. I would like to see more direction and more communication on that level with the public.
A quick follow-up and then the same question and follow-up to Amelia. I have been told that there's no building permit, that even though the ground was broken yesterday, there's no building permit. And can you affirm or not affirm that?
I do not have an answer to that question. As a city council person, I'm strictly legislative. I don't get into the gritty details of administrative. That's not what your job is as a city council member. But I can ask and have that question answered. But I'm quite sure that the city's not going to do anything without having everything set in place. That's just not how we try to.
Of course, they would just. Is it in place now? All right, Amelia. Same question to you about this communication, the disengagement of the public, feeling that they really are not being listened to.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. So I spent all yesterday morning listening to back council meetings starting in March. I didn't go any further back because it was 5 hours of doing this, and all those meetings, public engagement, and the two where it's interesting, I've ticked off how many times people spoke about this, and it was very limited. People weren't there, weren't aware of everything, but it was a very limited negative response to this. And then when it came to action items for city council, then we got bigger groups there, but it was more in favor for than it was against. I counted exactly how many
trees were coming down that early.
The trees for the playground starting early on, it was about the all-inclusive playground, and the community didn't want to see those 10 trees that were being affected for that. And it was pretty much all about the trees, yes. And it just, you know, went toward where we are today. And so it's one of those things with communication. I think the city is doing all that they can do. I do concur with Deb that our mayor needs to step up. We do need that strong mayor. He's, you know, the elected official with the voice for the city. So that piece was missing and has been missing. So we need to.
I'll share that with our mayor candidates. They're all going to be on the 31st coming up. So we'll mention that. All right. We are past due for a break. And when we come back, I'll do that follow up with you. We're going to take a break right now.
You show your vandal pride? Dave sure does. He proudly dons the silver and gold everywhere he goes. Dave thought he was the ultimate fan until he found out there was a Vandal debit card.
Where did you get that?
Well, Dave, there's only one place to get your Vandal debit card. At P1FCU. Visit p1fcu.org/govandals to get your Vandal card today. Debit cards are only available to P1FCU members with an active checking account. Insured by NCUA.
Selkirk Press, your hometown printer since 1924. From concept to completion in one location. They offer in-house graphic design, printing, copying, laminating, coil binding, mailing services, even pickup and delivery. That means faster service and convenience for you. Any order, large or small, Selkirk Press will make you look good on paper. Selkirk Press, 1714 Industrial Drive by Sandpoint Airport. Helping you stand out with custom in-house printing and design.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling.
I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Do you know how much you're really paying for life insurance through work? I can almost guarantee you're overpaying for limited coverage. I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent for over 20 years. My clients are shocked to learn how expensive life insurance at work really is because of a rate that's driven up by unhealthy people. Why pay more when you don't have to? For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. I found a 40-year-old man with high blood pressure, a $500,000 policy, for only $19 a month. Don't procrastinate. Workplace open enrollment will be here soon. Let SelectQuote save you money and get you the coverage you need to protect your family.
For your free quote in just minutes, call 1-800-242-3311. That's 1-800-242-3311. 1-800-242-3311. Or go to SelectQuote.com.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
All right, welcome in. As promised, we've got it going on for you today. We are talking to two of the six Sandpoint City Council candidates, Amelia Boyd and incumbent Deb Rule, are joining us today on the air. We appreciate that, and I appreciate you guys out there listening and the questions that you have shared with me. The next one is more general. It is, what is your opinion? Some people may think that the city administrator position is not an elected position, and so there is a way that the public cannot impact that person or that person's position by voting. They can only vote for city council and the city commissioner or city administrator, excuse me, is not accountable in a way to the voters. How do you respond to that, to those thoughts?
Well, I view the city as a business. So just like any other business, you have your CEO or your COO, and that is a qualified professional to run that business. That the city administrator works for the mayor and council, and those are the elected officials that are accountable to the public. Now, all hired staff in the city are not, because they are hired to do their job, because they are the professionals and they're the qualified people to do that.
All right. Same question, Deb, to you regarding city administrator not really being accountable to voters. What do you think about that thought?
Well, going back, the form of government we have is a strong mayoral government, and the mayor is actually the chief executive officer, and he runs, and so it's his values and passions and directions. Everybody beneath him is an employee and should do what they are instructed to do or have the potential to be removed from their position. So you need to have a very strong mayor to run that. There had been as far as the city council piece of that, the city council is legislative in nature. The mayor could come to us, and we do have to vote yes and no on department head levels and an administrative level to replace, remove, etc. on that level. But as a city council, it would be difficult to do that without the mayor first directing it, because you're legislative in nature and you would break open meeting laws if you talk to all the other council members about what their
exactly
thoughts were or were not. So I would agree with the public in that we really need a strong mayor.
All right. We're back to that strong mayor. Good thought. All right. A lot of people are talking and wanting more capital improvements. I think that about half of the city budget goes toward capital improvements. People seem to want more. Keeping it with you, Deb, on that, do you agree, disagree, and what, if anything, would you eliminate or reduce to put more money over here into water, sewer, roads?
Well, one of the biggest issues that I think is not really brought up a lot is the sewage treatment plant, and we need to do that. And we have done rate studies, and people have probably noticed that their rates have gone up. Yeah. That sewage treatment plant is going to cost us anywhere between $65 and $85 million. We're a small town of less than 10,000 people, and we're all going to have to pay for that in the long run. We do have a timeline for that, so I'm hoping that we can really push that through. You know, there's just absolutely no way to keep up with streets and sidewalks. We have the increased
anything,
the tax.
The question is, the people know that. Excuse me for interrupting.
Mm-hmm, no.
But the question is, would you move something away from something over here to at least to some point, you know, add to the capital improvement monies?
It's almost like raising your family. What kid do you take away from to give to the other? And everybody gets, you know, sort of upset about that. So you have to prioritize what the greatest needs are. And like I said, the resort city tax, we increased that to come up in line with the rest of the country. And we're putting that back into sidewalks and streets. And sidewalks was the reason I got on council to begin with and started as a member of planning commission. So it's a very important issue. And I was on the original sewer tour a number of years ago to see what types of plants we can build. So I think we need to worry a lot about our basic infrastructure, because without that, we have a problem and a precipitous decline of values of our homes and businesses if the sewage treatment plant doesn't stay online as it needs to.
All right. Same question to you, Amelia. And I want to emphasize the question. Everybody agrees how important infrastructure is. The issue is, are there budget areas that could be reduced or even eliminated to increase the infrastructure monies every year?
I share Deb's sentiment that if you take from another, you're neglecting one. Take from one, you're neglecting another. So you have to find that balance. And I think with this next year's budget of $53 million, 22.5 are going toward capital improvement projects. So I think that's a step in the right direction. And I believe that's probably the first time where that much of the budget, a big chunk of it, is going towards that. So to continue that, absolutely. Deb mentioned the lot tax, that extra 7% going to city sidewalks and streets is a huge, huge incentive. Historically, budget was $250,000 a year toward those improvements. And since the lot, it's now there's $1 million, and it's increasing because of the extra 7%. So that was a big help for that voters when they approved that. So definitely a step in the right direction for those, because it is a value that we need. I also am understanding and realize that the increase in population, the city has yet to keep up. We are playing catch up with the how it's affected our infrastructure. So we're now just trying to play catch up with that. And I think, our priority is infrastructure and that wastewater treatment plant.
Well, you're going to like these next questions, because you're going to get to brag on the city. Now, we've been talking about problems. I'm going to keep it with you, Amelia. Something the city has done fairly recently that you really like, that you would have just definitely voted two yeses.
Well, it's interesting, because this question's come up before. And so when we first moved here, it was about the War Memorial Field. It was grass, and the topic was to make it turf. And I'm about nature and natural surfaces. I'm an athlete. So, just keeping it natural, I think, is healthier. But then there's studies the other way as well. But that was my personal opinion. And then when I got into the bones of it and asking the questions and reading the material and talking with coaches, and not only that, but it was the kids, and then living nearby and seeing the disrepair of that field with the natural grass and how it was poorly draining and all this stuff, it just made sense to me that I did change my mind.
So a thumbs up on a War Memorial.
Yeah, trip. Because I live nearby. I walk by there or run by there every single day, and it's used all the time. And I hear the kids laugh. I see them play. And that's what it's about.
All right. Same question to you, Deb Rule, incumbent.
Well, for me, I mean, I'd have to agree with Amelia on War Memorial, and I went from believing one way to another way, but it is well used. But the most recent thing was just making my way to the grocery store on some of the back streets through Sandpoint and just seeing that money that is for streets. I believe it was over by Ruth Avenue and just seeing that new street laid down there. And it's always fun to ride your bike on a brand new street. It's so smooth and wonderful. And then the other piece would be, reading through the details of the waterfront design and looking at how much effort they put into the mass of buildings and then having the opportunity to follow through with the code on that piece, I think is something that's really important. Not all sort of the fancy glitter on the outside of that, but the bare bones of changing code and making it fit within what Sandpoint really is, and the ecological changes of improving all the native Sand Creek plantings. Okay. So,
all right, sounds good. We're up against that break. We're going to take it right now. This is our last break, so don't go away.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape-to-the-woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
What's new at Mountain Traders? Sacred Seed Homeschool Store is now open, a cozy cabin dedicated to buying and selling quality used homeschool curriculum. Also, now hosting Righteous Canine, basic to advanced dog training. Contact Mountain Traders for class schedules. There's always something new to see at Mountain Traders. It's not just another store, it's an experience. Mountain Traders Local Trading Post, located on Highway 95, 10 short miles north of Ponderay. For info, go to mountaintraders.net.
Time has proven to be a good judge of quality. When something stands the test of time, you know it's good. Steve here with Pacific Steel and Recycling in Ponderay. Pacific is a 100% employee-owned company that has been delivering great steel products and providing convenient, quality recycling services for more than a century. Here in Ponderay for more than 30 years. So if it's structural steel you need, or just looking to turn your metal trash into cash, visit Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Ponderay.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today, now in the foot care aisle.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Yes, we are here talking with two of the six Sandpoint City Council candidates. They are vying for your vote. The top three vote-getters of the six get to sit on the City Council. So you get to vote for three. Two of them are here, Amelia Boyd and Deb Rule. So we're going to go to the issue of the Housing Authority. And Deb, we're going to start with you. Explain to our audience, I know this, we could have taken the whole program doing this whole housing situation, but explain to our audience what the issue is with the Housing Authority, and are you for and against moving forward to have a Housing Authority established in Sandpoint?
Well, I definitely think we need to do something about a housing situation here in Sandpoint, and that's no surprise to anybody. We need to make sure we can have city employees and people who work in healthcare and teachers, and everybody's heard those same statements. That is actually on the agenda again to be discussed at this Wednesday's council meeting. I believe that we need to partner with a lot of other organizations, nonprofit, in town. I know Kiniksu Land Trust has been working very hard behind the scenes. I know that a committee was organized over 2 years by the mayor to start talking about housing. I requested to be on the committee. I was not put on that committee. I was working a lot in the watershed, so I'm hoping to move a lot of my time in that direction. I'm not 100% sure that a housing authority is what we need. I'd have to look at more of the details of that and see how that works. But I think we need to do a lot of partnering with different organizations. There's talks about deed restrictions, and there's a lot of law when you come to private land ownership and how do you get affordable housing on it. And I know there are some smaller towns like McCall that are doing different things with deed restrictions. So we just need to really get into the details deep down and see what we can do here is with Sandpoint between private and public relationships. And if that turns into a housing authority and it looks like the right way for the city to go, then I would support that.
All right. The same question to you, Amelia Boyd. What are your thoughts on establishing a housing authority?
Well, there certainly is an outcry for more affordable housing. Deb is correct. We cannot, even with planning and zoning, we cannot tell any property owner what to do and to enforce affordable housing from these developers. So, yeah, a housing authority of some sorts, what that will look like, I think the bare bones of that it needs to, you know, we really need to divest into that a little further. And yeah, Haley, you know, like Deb said, deed restrictions, there are ways to be creative. Haley, Idaho has a program as well, but it's a partnership with a developer that the city was able to purchase two units. And they had their, you know, for locals, and but the city was able to do that with help of the developers. So, yes, we do need those partnerships. We do need, you know, nonprofits to help as well. It's, I don't think the city as a whole is in the housing market. I don't, that it's not something that I don't think the citizens want that, at all. So, but helping along the way, absolutely, because, that is needed and everybody knows it.
All right. We're going to keep it with you. We're kind of winding down in time, but you'll have time to answer. And that is there something that we have not talked about that is important to you?
Oh, gosh. Do we have another hour?
Just one thing.
One thing off the top of my head. You know, I just, you know, not that we haven't touched. I mean, the communication piece is really something that concerns me and that I really think I can make a difference with that because I am a voice of reason, I feel. But as far as any other issues, I think this design competition that's come forth, I've only read 62 of the 85 pages so far. I did watch it on Zoom. That is something that we need to, you know, have public input so we don't have what's going on today. We need to really engage and encourage the public to know what people want to see at City Beach in the downtown corridor. So that's a big one, that's going to be coming up. And I encourage all citizens, all residents to inform, to become informed, involved. They don't have to go to the city council meetings. They can watch them on Zoom. And it's just, you know, talking with your neighbors.
Okay. Don't give up.
Don't give up. Exactly.
All right. Same to you, Deb. I'm going to hurry you along a little bit.
So I would say that we really didn't touch on the multimodal plan. And I definitely think there are some amendments that need to be done with that plan, especially a trucking route. And then that sort of weaves its way back into the competition that we just had. And if you'll look at the latest documents, there is a roundabout proposed for Superior and First Avenue as you come into town, which I think could be designed into a wonderful welcoming piece. And it could also deter through truck traffic, but be built to accommodate RVs and people that boat trailers and such that are still using the downtown area. So,
I think a big roundabout.
No, it would not have to be a huge.
No,
the large roundabout accommodates RVs and trucks and all those other things, but it's not easy for big trucks, so it's a deterrent. So I think we need to look at some of the cut-through streets, and grid patterns are designed for a reason, but what we need to do is traffic calm on those cut-through streets. And so we're dispersing the traffic, but we're like, hey, you're in the neighborhood, so you can go this way, but you got to drive slow. And I think some of those changes could be made for much less money. So, you know, I'm passionate about the multimodal transportation plan. And if you go back and watch some of those YouTube things, you'll see me asking a lot of questions about, no, I don't think that's the right way to go. So we need to change those things and get them on record.
And that ties right in with the infrastructure, certainly traffic.
Absolutely.
And streets. That's a big thing to manage. The next 20 years of growth and traffic coming our way.
Yes.
All right. That's it. So what's left? And we're going to start with Amelia, and you're going to say goodbye to our audience and kind of close out. And I'll watch the clock for us.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me and for your time. I really feel that I can make a difference and with my experience and my – well, just my attitude. So I would appreciate your vote and watch or come to the public forum tonight at the community hall 5:30.
All right. And that's Amelia Boyd running for, running for Sandpoint City Council. All right. That was fast. I didn't have to watch the clock at all. And the same question to you, Deb Rule. Say goodbye to our audience and close out.
Well, I would just like to say thank you for the invitation. And then I would like to remind all the residents that I do have that institutional knowledge. I've sat up there for a long time. I understand how the government works and at a much slower pace than all of us would wish at times. But I have been involved in city business far longer than a number of the employees that we now have on staff. Other council members have said they appreciate that I can go back historically in context and bring up other things that they themselves did not have the opportunity to think of and present that. So I think it is helpful and it makes a difference, and I'm hoping that makes a difference to the public. We don't always get it right. I haven't always gotten it right, but I try to absolutely do my best and read my materials and look at all those details that you don't have time for. So I hope that you'll still find it in your heart to vote for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, both to you, Amelia Boyd, Deb Rule. They want your vote clearly. I thank you both for being here with us. You took some tough questions, and you answered them really well. Thank you for that. So thanks, everybody. I invite you back next week because we're going to be talking with the next three Sandpoint City Council candidates. I encourage you to go tonight to the community meeting at Sandpoint Community Hall. It begins at 5:30. This afternoon to around 7:30. They'd probably stay late if you want to talk to them. I also encourage you to get registered to vote. It's coming up November the 7th. And as always, I just encourage you to find out about the candidates and then vote. I mean, I know early voting and absentee voting and all that's going on, but I encourage you to get informed, get involved, and then vote. So until next week, this is Barbara saying thank you. Take care of yourselves and each other. May God richly bless you. And I also ask for prayers for Israel.